actually take them into the land of Israel. Moshe wants to be the one to take them in. And he says to Hashem, how could it be that I have done so much for the Jewish people? And not just, it's not a matter of how much he's done, but I've been with them through so much. And now I won't be able to take them into the land and help them conquer the land, help them divide the land, help them get rid of all of the nations that live there, help them guide them to all the mitzvahs that they have to do specifically in the land of Israel. How could it be that I won't be able to have that schus? And not only that, it's not just the schus, but to do it so that the job gets done well. And we'll see soon how Hashem tries to comfort Moshe Rabbeinu to a certain extent over here. But let's look now, Taka, where you saw before, Pasuk Nun Vayidaber. Let's read these psukim, and these are such strong psukim that I think we have, nowadays we read it every day, we can read it. Let's see what he says. Amazing, it could have been written for today. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, so Hashem speaks to Moshe, Ba'arveis Mayav, in the plains of Mayav, al Yarden Yerechai, as we just set the tone, on the Jordan, right opposite, they're going to enter the land, the first place they're going to get to is the city called Yerechai, but this is called Yarden Yerechai, Leimer saying. So what does Hashem say? Daber el Bnei Yisrael. First of all, just note that this is, who is Hashem talking to? Moshe, okay, just keep that in mind. Not to Yehoshua, okay? Why do I think he should be speaking to Yehoshua? Because we're going to see he's going to talk about entering the land. Moshe's not taking them into the land. Yet this is commanding Moshe. And who is Moshe commanding? The Jewish people, not Yehoshua. Okay, and what does he say? V'yamarta aleihem, and say to them, ki atem, and if you go to the next page, ki atem, 1 second, Ivrim es hayardein el eretz Canaan. You are going to cross the Jordan to the land of Canaan. And what should you do when you cross it? V'hayrashtem es kol yoshvei ha'aretz. I know this is not politically correct, but this is the Chumash. You shall drive out all of the inhabitants of the land before you. Tell them to leave. We're not saying to kill them here. We're saying let them leave. Tell them goodbye. Find someplace else to live. And he says, Mipneichem, from before you. And he says, V'ibadetem. Now that's the first thing. They have to leave. Once they leave, or some people say it goes together, V'ibadetem es kol maskiyosam. You shall destroy all their temples. V'es kol tsalme masechaisam. And all the molten images. Ta'abedu, you shall destroy. Make them lost. V'es kol bamoisam tashmidu. And all their high places you shall demolish. Now, when we talk about high places, we're talking about places of worship, right? So it gives three different kinds of worship. So it's very clear. Any type of worship place that they had has to be gone. Well, the simple reason we understand, if we leave the places of worship, well, we can be influenced, perhaps, and decide one day that we want to worship there. So we have to get rid of it. And we know that idol worship is one of the three cardinal sins. So we have to make sure that it's totally gone from the land. The reason I said that it could be together or it could be after is because according to some opinions, I saw a very fascinating thing. It said if you destroy their places of worship, well, then they'll go. They'll want to go because they won't want to be there. It's not a place that's hospitable for them. It's not a place that they feel comfortable with it because they can't worship the way they want to. Let them worship the way they want to, but not in the land of Israel. Even though the truth is we know that even the non-Jews are not allowed to do idol worship, right? That's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But whatever it is, but definitely not in the land of Israel. That's for sure. This is a holy country. Then he continues, and it's not enough. And he says, V'hayrashtem es ha'aretz. You shall rid the land. V'yishaftem ba. And you shall settle in it. Ki lachem. And it's very, very clear. Why? Ki lachem nasati es ha'aretz. Because I have given you the land. L'reshes aisa. To possess it. It's yours. V'hisnachaltem es ha'aretz b'goyrol. And you shall give the land as an inheritance by way of lots l'mishpachay seichem, according to the families. And as we mentioned this earlier, la rav tarbu es nachalosai, right? To the bigger one, it shall increase its inheritance. The smaller should have less. So it could either be according to, obviously it goes according to the number of the tribe. We know that although the land of Israel was divided, well, not 12 really, more 9.5 at the end. 9.5 plots, right, as we say, but they weren't even. Because certain tribes were bigger, certain tribes were smaller. Certain parts of the land of Israel are more fertile. Certain parts are more desert. So depending on a lot of different parts of the equation would be how big and where exactly they would have their portion. Okay, and then we say like this. Asher yetzeh leishama ha-goyrel, wherever the lot comes out, lo yihyeh, it should be to him, lematay saveisechem tisnachalu, according to the tribe of your father, so you shall inherit. Im loisay rishu, and it's not even enough. It seems like we understand. Hashem said, tell them to go and inherit. But it doesn't. It's not satisfied. Hashem says he has to repeat more. What does he have to stress to us? And we know why now, because it's not easy, this. He says, v'im loisay rishu es yoshvei ha'aretz mepneichem. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, v'hoya asher toisiru mehem, those of them who you shall leave, what will happen? They will be lisikim be'eneichem. They shall be as pins in your eyes. And he says even stronger, not only that doesn't, not satisfied with that, but v'litzninim b'tzideichem, as thorns at your side. V'tzaru roeschem, and they will harass you, ala aretz, asher atem yoshvim ba, on the land which you dwell. One more pasuk, v'hoya, k'asher dimisi la'asos lahem, and it shall be that what I meant to do to them, e'eseh lachem, Hashem says, I will do to you if you don't get rid of them. It's so strong. It couldn't be stronger. The language that the psukim tell us about us entering, in other words, we haven't entered yet, but we have to have this attitude. Before we cross the Jordan, we have to know what we are about to do and what we have to do. And it's the only way. It's the only way for us to be able to live in peace in the land of Israel, the land that belongs to us, that it says Hashem has designated and given to us. Okay, I want to go back to a few Rashis and discuss a few fascinating things on these psukim. I mean, just the psukim themselves are so strong and so powerful. We're not going to discuss what people will say about it now because it really doesn't matter. This Hashem wrote. This is God's words. We don't have to excuse it. That's it. Okay.
It came to be, didn't it?
What? It came to be. Exactly right. Exactly right. It's obvious that it's, yeah, it's not even a question. I just want to show you which one or two Rashis here. Okay. If you look on page 409, look at the Rashi that says, actually doesn't even really have a Divrei HaMaskil. It says, the first Rashi there on page 50, on one of, what is it, 409, right? It says, when you cross over, right? So he says like this, Ki atem ayver mes hayardein. So when you cross the Jordan, and then it tells us what you should do, you should drive out. So Rashi says, V'haloi kama pa'amim husharu al kach, had they not already been given orders regarding this many times? Ella kach amar lahem Moshe, but this is what Moshe tells them, something very interesting. Kisha atem ayvrim bayardein. When you grow across, and here they translate the Jordan, but in the Jordan, in other words, while you are crossing, and as I said, it was a miraculous crossing. It describes that the sea actually split again for them. It was a different type of splitting. It went to one side, but it doesn't matter. The point is that there was a miracle that happened. The Jewish people also went on dry land in the River Jordan to enter the land of Israel. And while you are crossing on dry land, as it says, when the waters of the Jordan will miraculously part to allow you to cross, what should you have in mind? Al minas kein tavru, cross with this understanding. What understanding? That you will drive out the inhabitants of the land. And if not, in love, mayin ba'im v'shoytvim eschem, water will come and wash you away. And this is what it says that Yehoshua told them while they were in the Yarden. This is a very fascinating thing. Why is this so important? isn't the main thing that they do when they get there? Why is it important that even before they enter the land, while they're experiencing that miracle of crossing the Yarden, that they should already be set to do this task? Why? What's the point of that?
The purpose.
The purpose. That's right, Daisy. But why do they have to be so conscious of it while they're crossing the Jordan? So just think for one moment. While they're crossing the Jordan River, it's a miracle, right? They're experiencing an incredible miracle. Hashem is literally revealed before them. When they come to the land of Israel, there will be miracles. Everything is a miracle. But they will still have to fight wars. That's what Hashem said. Now, wars take on a certain natural, you know, you're endangering your life. Thank God when they followed the orders, there was no loss of life because Hashem made miracles. But still, they don't know that, right? They have to take up arms. There's going to be a lot of fear, and it's going to be difficult to implement this task, as we see. Very difficult. Doesn't look very good, right? Who knows what everybody's going to say about you, what you're committing, right? God forbid. And we, the kind Jewish nation. Anyways, so what happens here? When we are crossing the Yarden, while we are experiencing the incredible open miracle of Hashem, right? Hashem's guiding hand. We have to then have the strong resolution that we will follow through with the command of Hashem, because we know that the miracles will follow us as well. In other words, what we are doing is we are taking the miracles with us. This is, I must tell you that after the Six-Day War, when we had miracles, that's really the biggest miracles that we experienced in the last 100 years, was during the Six-Day War. And at that time, it was just a level beyond. And we got a lot of real Eretz Yisrael back, as we know, that belonged to us at that time. Even though we didn't necessarily set out to do that, but that's what Hashem made. It happened, right? And finally, we got back Yerushalayim, and we got back the Kaisel and everything. And then I remember, and not I was, I was only just born then, but I remember after many times listening the recordings of the Lubavitch Rebbe speaking, because it didn't take very long afterwards. Unfortunately, for the political, you know, state of Israel, I'm not judging, I'm not in their shoes, but they were crumbling to the pressure of the world. As we know, it took very short time, right? It wasn't very long that they gave back lots of different land for peace, whatever it may be, made concessions, acted weak. And the Lubavitch Rebbe was telling them, if Hashem showed you such a miracle, such miracles, take the miracles and strengthen yourself. That's the idea. The miracles, Hashem's open hand, guides us and shows us that this is how we have to act. So while we are experiencing the miracle, that's when we have to be strong in our resolution, because then comes the harder work afterwards. And if we strengthen ourselves during the miracle, then we take that with us. Otherwise, it disappears. That's what happens. We all know that in our own lives. Even not open miracles, but even smaller miracles that we experience, good things that we experience, and then we come through a little bit of a hard patch, and it's like nothing ever good happened. You know, we forget. How do we make that the good remains the permanent? You have to, at that time, really resolve strongly that this is the way we're going to view things and work on it. It's got to be something that we decide at that time. Internalize it then. So that's what happens here. But I want to I think I missed a very important Rashi before this. Let's see where it is. I'm sorry. Sure.
Gaza. Is that the end of Israel?
Okay, so that's a good... No, so it's a very good question. So there are different opinions as far as the border of the land of Israel. And according to some opinions, Gaza is sort of partially in the land, and some is not. However, there is another very interesting thing with the borders of the land. And that is to do with the fact that if we have certain parts of the land, even if they're not technically as holy as the rest, but they're there for security reasons, we have to be careful. We can't give them up, because the security of the people in the land is what matters the most. So it's an interesting question. The reason why it's important is what we're going to get to now, is to know if we do the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, where we do them. So Eilat, according to many opinions, is not part of the land of Israel in the technical borders, and therefore the mitzvahs of the land of Israel perhaps are not kept in Eilat. that would apply, I guess, in the year, Shemitah year, or the Trumas, you know, that you take the mice, or so different things. So there are different, as we say, but with Gaza also, so there's different parts of where the border is, to know exactly which part of it is and which part isn't. It's interesting.
Don't give an inch. So
very, very strong, because of the security of the land. You see what happens, and it does. It's not that they want land. It's not that they. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't do anything. So, and we know, unfortunately.
It's like they don't give this back now.
Oh my God, Shem! I don't know what's going to be now. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, there was one Rashi that I'm looking for, but of course I can't find it. Maybe it's afterwards. Yeah. Okay, and I'm just wanted to see if there was anything. Oh, okay, so let me just see one more. Okay, so from this part, I think we've done all the Rashis that I want to see, and I want to show you something. Yeah, before we do the next perek, in your other booklet that you have, the Mefarshim, I think it's the top page. I'm going to show you something. I'll scroll down, I'll show you something, because we have to... No, actually, I think it's on the next part. No, sorry. Let's continue just another few psukim in Perek Lamed Dalid. Sorry, so on page 411, just continue to a few more psukim. Because following this very strong command about us making sure that when that what we're going to do when we get to the land, now Hashem says, why is it actually so important for us to live in this land? So let's see what he says. Vayidabra Hashem al Moshe Lemer, again, Hashem commands Moshe. Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'amarta aleihem, and say to them, ki atem ba'im el ha'aretz, you are coming to the land, el ha'aretz kenan, zayis ha'aretz asher tipa lachem b'nachala, this is the land that shall fall to you. It's a very interesting language, fall, anyway, I wish it would just fall, to us as an inheritance, eretz kenan ligvulay seha, the land of Canaan according to its borders, right? I want to just read one more. I think you have one more page of Psukim or no?
Yes.
You do, right? Okay, I'm going to come back to... I want to read one more, just one more Pasuk. And I just want to say, I wish I knew this, but I don't know any of the... I don't understand the borders. This is way beyond my scope, but I just want to show you one Pasuk. V'hoyelachem, and it goes through all the borders here. The north, the south, the east, and the west. It tells you all the borders of the land of Israel. V'hoyelachem pas neged, I'll show you, the southern side shall be for you. Mimidbar Tzin, from the wilderness of Tzin. Al yidei Edom, on the side of Edom. V'hoyelachem ha'gvul neged, this should be the southern border. Mikze yam ha'melech kedma, from the end of the salt sea, to the east. Okay, well, like I say, I don't know exactly. Obviously, we know a little bit Yam HaMelech, where it is, and we understand. But I want to go now to the next, to something very, very important. Let's just see that we just read on page 411, a very interesting thing. It says over here, Ki atem ba'im el ha'aretz, and this is the land that falls for you as a nachala. So let me just show you first Rashi. I'm going to show you a very famous Ramban here. Rashi, so this is on page 411, Rashi 2, and Rashi says like this, Lefi shaharbeis mitzvais nahagais baretz, because many commandments apply in the land of Israel, ve'ein nahagais b'chutz laretz, and they do not apply outside the land. Hutzrach lichtayv, so the pasuk, the Chumash has to tell us, and has to write very clearly, Mitzrane gvulei ruchayseha, the limits of the borders and its sides, saviv all around. Why? Laimar lach. In other words, laimar lacha. Why is it so important for all of us to know the borders of the land of Israel? Okay, so we might say, yeah, we have to know where we're supposed to live, right? They're going to enter the land. But you could say that that could have been commanded specifically only to the leaders of the Jewish people. So they, because they're the ones who are really going to be in charge to make sure of the borders. Why does every Jew have to know? Why does it have to be recorded forever? Because we know, he says, min hagvulim halalu vilifnim hamitzvis nayagais, from these borders and inward, the commandments related to the land of Israel apply. And all of us have to know that. We have to know where we keep the specific mitzvahs of the land of Israel. So this is something which applies to all of us. I want to just, just to understand what Rashi's saying here, it seems from Rashi that he's saying that the psukim are telling us that when we are able to enter the land of Israel, we have to be aware of its borders, right? Does it it doesn't sound that it's a specific command from Rashi's interpretation. It's not a specific command here that you should go and conquer and inherit the land. That's not what it's saying. He's saying when you do, you have to know the borders because you have to know where to keep the mitzvahs. We'll see. Well, the reason I'm stressing it, in a minute we're going to see a Ramban, which is fascinating. But I want to just show you, before we go to the Ramban, another Rashi that's absolutely beautiful. The next Rashi tells us, comments on the words, he says that this land will fall to you. It's a very strange language. He says, Tipa lachem shall fall to you. So first of all, Rashi says, why does he use that language? Because he says, Al-shein shenechleka begoyro, because it's divided by a lottery. Nikreis chalukah, so its division is expressed as a lashon nefila in terms of falling. And another thing that it says, that's interesting. So because what you do with a lottery, you like throw the lots, as we say. So that's why. So whatever your lot falls on is what you inherit. That's why the language of falling is used. The reason that Rashi has to comment is because first, it's a very strange language. And second of all, if you think about it, when we're talking about the land of Israel, and we're talking about us inheriting it, and it should become ours, what we would think would be a more beautiful language would be Asher Tokum Bahem, that gets elevated to them, because it actually does use that in Chumash Bereishis. You know, when it talks about even Avraham inheriting the land and also buying the parts, you know, buying Marisa Machpela, and when Yaakov goes in, it always says Tokum, it goes up because it gets elevated when it becomes ours, and then we can do the mitzvahs there. And here, it's such a funny language, it should fall to you. So that's why Rashi first says, don't take it in a bad way. It means literally just because it's falling by lots. But then he gives such a magnificent medrash. And look what the medrash says. Again, we have to realize Torah is eternal. This didn't just happen then. Look what the medrash says. So Rashi continues. And he says, Umedrash agada oimer. The medrash tells us, Al yidei shehipil hakadosh baruch hu sareihem shel shiva umais. Because the Holy One, blessed be He, caused the ministering angels of the seven nations who at that time inhabited the land of Canaan. He caused their angels, which means all the defense system that they had, all the spiritual energy that they had to exist. He caused it to fall, min hashamayim, from the heavens. The cuffs on the Fnei Moshe and bound them. It goes to the next page. Unbelievable. He takes these sarim and he binds them before Moshe. Amar Leon, Hashem says to Moshe, look, Ein Bahem Oid Kayach. They no longer have strength. What does that mean? When you read this, what you realize is even from Moshe Rabbeinu, who is instructing, obviously he's not personally going to go in, but he feels, his the nation is his, so he feels a tremendous responsibility. Even to Moshe, it was a very daunting, awesome, difficult task to take on these strong nations. And Hashem physically, literally showed him a vision that the nations are gone. They're gone. I've taken away all their protection. Don't be afraid of them. They're already conquered. You just have to do the work down here now by believing it. So you see something very important again. This is a message for all of us. This is what it is. When we are thinking about the land of Israel, we have to change our mindset and not be afraid. Not be afraid of even the strongest nations, whether it be Iran, whether it be Saudi Arabia, whether it be Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, all the countries that are constantly threatening us. And some of them have tremendous power, so to speak, we might say. But Hashem says, don't be afraid. I've already destroyed them. You have nothing to worry about. And he shows it to Moshe. You see, he needs to show it. And that's what he does. So this is something eternal again for us. Again, showing the fear is real. In other words, don't feel bad that you're afraid, but just deal with it in this way and realize that Hashem is taking care of them. And it's actually quite incredibly, unbelievably powerful. Interesting that it opened that shelter. The wind is...
You didn't feel a draft.
No, I don't. You know that? It's funny. But it makes a noise. So it's good to close it. But I didn't even feel it. There we go, Reva.
So it's open the whole weekend.
That's a good question. If it was open the whole weekend, I hope not. Anyways, let's hope not. But look, we're all here. It's all in one piece. What?
This place was protected.
It was protected. That's right. Exactly right. Oy vavoy. Okay. I want to show you a very important Ramban. This is a Ramban that's often quoted. You know, the Ramban was, you talk about Zionism, people, they think Zionism is from now, you know, like it's a new phenomena, right? The Ramban, was he so strong about living in the land of Israel, and how he had this very strong language that he used. And even in the, you know, he brought this thing that somebody who doesn't live in the land of Israel, it's as if he doesn't have a God. That's the language that he used. Now, I want to show you something. If you see the sheet that looks like this, you see this booklet, you have a sheet that... Okay, so what the Ramban did was he was born in Spain, but he moved to Israel. He's buried in Tveria. He made Aliyah. He did. He worked hard to get there, and it was not an easy in his days to get there, that's for sure. But he got there at the end. Okay, I want to show you something. Look what the Ramban says. Oh, let me see if I can find it here. Unbelievable. Let's see how he describes this pasuk. The Ramban says like this. Vahirashtem es ha'aretz, right? And you see that Ramban, it's in the middle of that page. He says, al dati, very important thing Ramban establishes, zu mitzvahs ase. He tells us this is a positive commandment. In other words, this is one of the 613 commandments, which means that it's all of our responsibility, each and every one of us. What? To go in and inherit the land of Israel, to get rid of all the people who are there, and inherit the land of Israel. This is a responsibility. This is a mitzvah sase, a positive commandment. He says, Yitzava oisam. He's commanding them, Sheyeshvu ba'aretz, that they should live in the land. V'yirashu oisa, ki hu nasna lahem. Right? You have to inherit it. You have to drive everybody out. It's yours. It was given to you. V'lo yim'asu b'nachalas Hashem. And do not... Yimasu means like to be disgusted, which means is do not mistreat the land, the inheritance, which means if you favor, if you choose to live somewhere else, the Ramban says, that means that you say another place is better than the land of Israel. Well, that's mistreating the land of Israel. That's treating it less than. That's not the respect that it deserves. He says, Ve'ilu ya'ale al daitam, and if you think lalechas v'lichbaish eretz shinar, or eretz ashur, eretz shinar is like Babylonia, or Assyria, like, you know, they wanted, maybe they had an idea where they were going to go somewhere in Africa. You want to go make a different place, the land of the Jewish people? It doesn't work like that. He says, no. V'zulosan lis yashev sham, and to settle there, ya'avru al mitzvah Hashem. You're transgressing one of the mitzvahs of Hashem. And he says, and the fact that this was a whole discussion, obviously, in the Gemara, how much the mitzvah, because don't forget, in the time of the Gemara, many of the Jews lived in Babylon, right? There was the Babylonian Gemara. They didn't live in the land of Israel, a lot of them. And there's a whole discussion as far as how much of a mitzvah, like, in other words, what the mitzvah entails. So just to qualify, obviously, that there are certain reasons that a person is allowed to leave. Interesting, just to back up a little bit, if somebody's born in the land of Israel and is already living in the land of Israel, it's actually not so simple for them to leave the land of Israel. For that, you need valid reasons. If you were born outside of the land, it's a little bit simpler because it's much more difficult, then you have to make a move to go there. That doesn't mean you're absolved, but it just does, it's a little bit different. But to leave the land of Israel, I think there's only like two or three valid things. I think you're allowed to leave for a shidduch, you're allowed to leave. I think for parnasa was one of them, but only if you could really say that you will take it, you can't manage in the land of Israel, right? So there are different reasons that make, but again, it shows that you can't just go. It's not like you can just go because you are in the mood, you know, you're in the mood of living somewhere else. It looks like a nicer life. That's not a good enough reason. He says, the mitzvah of the settling of the of living in the land of Israel, v'sha asur lotzeis mimena, and you're forbidden to leave. He says, v'yidaynu ke mayrat, and amazing, he brings the stress, like how severe it is. He says that actually it can be judged as a mayredes. A mayredes is a rebellious wife, a woman, she'ena roitza la'alei simbala, a woman who doesn't want to make aliyah with her husband. She can be called a mayredes. Don't worry, he says it the other way also. And if the husband doesn't want to go and the wife wants to go, he can also be called on Bayrit, which according to some technical halachas means maybe it's grounds that you can get divorced, whatever it may be. He's not saying you should. That's not what he's saying here. But he's just showing you how strong and how powerful this mitzvah is. That this is a real, you know, it's an important thing. It's a mitzvah. And he says, V'chein ha'ish, bekan, and he says, this is where we were, this is where the mitzvah is. Bekan mitzvavinu b'mitzvah hazu. Here we were commanded with this mitzvah. Ki ha'kosav hazeh, hi mitzvah saseh. That's what the Ramban says. This is a positive commandment. He says, and it does repeat it in many places, in Chumash Devarim, but Rashi, he brings, Rashi's not saying it's a mitzvah. According to Rashi, it's when you inherit the land, and you want, you know, and it's time to go in this and this, and this is what you have to do. But according to the Ramban, it's not when and if, it's you must. You must. You must live in the land of Israel. And other places the Ramban brings, as I said, that strong language. Anybody who lives out of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they have no God. He has very strong language that he uses to the Ramban. This is a massive positive. It's one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs that we should live in the land of Israel. Now, as we say, it is the time of exile, the time of Golos. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't live in the land of Israel. It's still a holy land. But there are reasons, as we say, that a person can live out of the land of Israel, and they are considered valid reasons. But obviously the optimum, it's always good to know what we're aspiring to, is this is the optimum and this is one of the mitzvahs. And of course we understand why, because there are certain mitzvahs you can't do everywhere else. So for sure it makes sense that you should want to be there where you can do many more mitzvahs. I want to just show you one more thing that the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says. V'tzaruru eschem al ha'aretz. Remember we said what they're going to do if you leave them there? What happens if you leave those nations there? They're going to harass you, as we know. They're going to be like thorns in your side, right? As he says. So the Aruch Hayim says, Perush, Loi milvad sheyachziku b'chelech me'ha'aretz shelo zichisem bay. Not only will they hold on to parts of the land that you didn't merit to get yet, not only that for sure they'll do, but even more than that. Ela gam chelek shezachisem bay. Atem, v'yishaftem bay, but even parts that you've already managed to get, right? And you're settled there. Even those parts, v'tzoru eschem al chelek sha'atem yeshvim bay. They will harass you even on the parts that you are already living and that you have conquered and that you have settled and that you are legally living there. They will even harass you on those parts. You know, like the famous thing people used to say, that okay, whatever, all whatever. It's not, I don't like to discuss any politics at all, but and no divisions. But you know how people say Tel Aviv, well, that's ours legally, you know. But if you talk about, I don't know, Hebron, it's not ours. Whatever, you know, silly things, right? So we see, where do the rockets fall? They fall everywhere. They're not exclusive. Where do the terrorists go? They don't choose to go one place or another. They'll go everywhere. Every part of the land. It doesn't matter whether it be where the UN says you could be or can't be. They go everywhere. So it's not that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. The Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says it clearly. That's what the Pasuk says. Vitzaruru Aysam. They're going to harass you on every part of the land if you leave them there. And he says, Laimar kumutsu mimen. Right? What will they say? Get up and go. Uperish tevas al kederach aimra al asher mirisem espi al asher leikidashtem. Like, because, in other words, because you haven't followed my command, they will harass you and they will tell you to go. It's unbelievable, this like prophecy, like beyond everything. It's whatever. It's just,
yeah, I'm just thinking, Ben Gurion, he knew the truth.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I think he did. But they did. They said to the inhabitants that were there, "We can stay." Well, this is what I
think. Okay, so this is also an interesting question as far as, because even in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there were non-Jews living. You know, there is such a thing as, I forgot what it's called. I think it's called a Ger Toshav. You can have non-Jews living in the land of Israel. The thing is, there's a lot of what's the guidelines that they have to keep. So they have to keep certain mitzvahs. I think it's the negative commandments. There's certain rules that they have to keep, which they might not like to keep, but if they want to stay there, they can. And we do find that some people, if once they know the conditions that they are and they agree to it, then it's okay. Then they'll live there peacefully. And you do see that. But they have to agree. The first thing is, that this is a Jewish, this is art. You understand? It's not a country like Australia. It's not maybe multicultural is not the right. It is multi, but it's not. It's a Jewish state. That's a fact. Once you agree to that and you accept that sovereignty, then yeah, if you want to agree to the rules and the laws, maybe you can stay, but not the way they're staying now, right? That's the big problem. So it's interesting, the specific halachas as far as how it works, because we did have people coming. They came to work, you know, in the fields and whatever it may be, and that was okay. Again, with certain guidelines. Yeah, you know, there's all different fascinating. Yeah, how it worked. Yeah.
Can you imagine today if Israel had to kick out the Catholic Church and the Greek Church and this church and that church? Oh my God, the whole world.
Yeah, the world would. I know. Down. That's why we need Mashiach to come to do it for us, rerun. But you know, what should I say? You talk about the Catholic, Daisy was talking before. I don't like to talk politics, but you know, I mean, let's be honest. They're lovely people, and let them stay in Rome, you know, and whatever. I mean, do you know, the Pope, the last Pope, his last thing that he did on this earth, he really, I just gets me so like whatever, like really get, I mean, he was anyways going to Gehenna, but he buried himself. The last thing, he left his, I don't know what that called, that car, the special car that he had, that he waves from. He left it, you know what he said? To go to Gaza for the poor people in Gaza. That was his last will. What's the first thing this Pope did in his first statement? Ceasefire.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Yeah, they don't belong there. We don't need, they're outright, they, whatever. They're clear how much they hate us. They're clear how much we, so that's it, that's where they shouldn't be there. We know they shouldn't be there, but anyways, whatever. It's all good. They can be in Rome, no problem.
Oh,
that's a good question. So that's a very good question. So Rashi came first, and the Ramban is about 200 years later. Yeah, just 180 something. They do have different views, and the Ramban many times has things that he disagrees, so to speak.
He disagrees
with Rashi, exactly. But because they're the same era, they're allowed to. They're like the same level, if you want to say, of righteousness. But it's very interesting actually. It's an interesting point you're mentioning, Rona, because when you look at the commentary, sometimes you see they look a little bit harsh at it, like the way they say their view, and sometimes they might, like, if you want to say, discount another view. But it's always written that even though they did that in learning, but when it came to as a person, there was always deep respect. And that was with people who lived at the same time even, because it's just in Torah, you're permitted to have different views, as we say, as long as it fits according to the guidelines. But yeah, it's fascinating though. Yeah, but it is fascinating. Okay, I want to show you one last beautiful thing before we finish today. And we're going to see more next week. And as I wish I could explain all the borders, but I was thinking I would try maybe. Rabbi Moss did in the summer learning. Were you there in December? In the summer learning, he did such a beautiful thing. He did all the different views of the borders of the land of Israel. It was amazing. Oh my gosh. And part of it was like so, it was like so beyond crazy, because part of it included, like, as we know, Lebanon, Syria. I mean, it's like there's opinions of how the borders go. They're very, very broad. But I don't know. I'll try. I don't know if he'll have able to do. Maybe he can come and give us a review of that, because it would be so beautiful to see it. To see he had all these slides, that it was amazing. But I'll see if he will be able to. Okay, but let's see. I just want to show you one thing. Now, on your next, what's next in your booklet? How did I staple it? Oh, the maps. But skip the maps for a minute and go to, I think it's the next booklet. There's a sheet that starts page 154. Yeah, right there, Hannah. Right, what's it say, 154 on top of? Mm-hmm. After the maps, yeah? Mm-hmm. That one. Mm-hmm. Not the maps, but after the maps, 154. It says L'kutei Sichas. It has a lot of black on top. Okay, I want to just show you something beautiful, because here we see a beautiful lesson. When we spoke now about the land falling into our hands and the fact that we have the land, so here we'll take it on a spiritual level. He says like this, Eretz, if you look on the second column, the bottom paragraph, Eretz Koyal Knesset Yisrael. When we talk about the land of Israel, it also refers to the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, our neshama. We are also the land of Israel. We're a holy people, so to speak, and we are also referred to as the land of Israel. And that's what it says, Ve'zayis ha'aretz asher tipa lachem. This is referring to al yiridas ha'neshama lamata, the descent of the neshama down here. That's why it says fall, the land falls. The neshama that comes down from a very high place, and it comes down into our body, into this low world. Sheyirida zu, this descent, mikevan she'ina b'seder hadraga, ki im mi'igra rama labira amikta, when the neshama comes down and it's born, it actually doesn't come down like, you know, very, very slowly, so to speak, a nice gradual descent. It comes from the highest place, it's basking before Hashem, to the lowest place, to this dark world, in this limited body, as we know. So it's like from a high mountain to a low valley. It's a real, like, you know, what do you say, you know, those rides when you go to the amusement park and it goes shooting down. That's what then happens to the neshama. It's a big shock for the neshama, as we know. And what happens? He k'may nefila. It's like it's falling. That's what it is. And he says like this, and Rashi tells us, lefisha harbe mitzvis noyagos ba'aretz, right? Many mitzvis we do in the land of Israel, right? And that's why we have to know the borders. So he says, hakavana b'yirida v'nefila zu. Why does the neshama come down into the body? B'chdei l'kayim mitzvis ma'isiyes. Because we know that even though the neshama, when it's above, it's amazing, it's near Hashem, but where can it actually do a mitzvah? Only down here in this world, in this physical world. And that's tluyos ba'aretz. It's dependent on the land, dependent on the physical world to be able to do mitzvahs. Ve'efsharis dafke b'seich ha'gvulim. And it's only capable of doing mitzvahs within the limitations, the borders of this physical land. You know, there's an interesting halacha that if somebody, when you go to a cemetery, I don't know if you've ever seen men, they actually, if they have their tzitzis out, they should tuck it in. Why? Because you don't flaunt the mitzvahs in the cemetery, because the people in the cemetery can't do a mitzvah anymore. So you don't flaunt it. What that means for us is that we have to, every minute is precious, every second is precious in this world, that if we have another minute and we can do another mitzvah, we have to, as we say, chaparayim, right? We have to do as what we can. Just grab the opportunity. That's what it says. So the neshama, although it's a big descent, but nevertheless, here's where it can do mitzvahs. So he says, v'al yidei sha neshama yered es lamata, and through the neshama descending down here in Makayim, says ha mitzvahs ha ma'isiyas, and keeping all of these practical mitzvahs, harei noisef al zeh, shehi mashlima es kavanas yiridasa. So in addition to the fact that it's fulfilling the purpose for which it comes down, which is l'sakein es haguf, to fix, to, in other words, to elevate, to refine the body and its animal soul, because of the great, tremendous specialness, uniqueness of the practical mitzvahs, of being able to do a mitzvah down here, he misalis be'ili atzim, it actually gives an elevation to the neshama itself, more than what it was before it came down. We know the famous line, Yerida zu letzairech aliyah. The reason the neshama comes down into this world is because it will actually gain an elevation in this world. When it leaves this world, it will go to a much higher place than it did before it came down. How? Through doing the mitzvahs that it's able to do in this world. And he says, we have to understand, since if we say that the mitzvah is causing an aliyah, so why does it use the word tipol? Again, he asks, why does he use the word that we're falling, so to speak, lashon nefila? So he says, the reason that he uses the lashon nefila, Rashi says, is because how is the land divided? We said, with the goyrel, right? With the lots, as we said. What does lots symbolize? Lots, we say, very interesting thing about lots. Lots is something which is arbitrary, right? It's like, it's not rational, definitely. It's not like you say, this person deserves this, that person deserves that. Lots is leaving it to chance, if you want to say. What is chance? Chance is actually leaving it to something way beyond. It's like really the essence, if you want to say, comes from a very high source. It's like what Hashem wants. You know, that's it. Nothing else is compelling it to be that way. Only Hashem decided, right? So we say something very beautiful. We say that by coming down into this world, we are able to engage in practical mitzvahs, mitzvahs that have to do with physical, material objects. This, where did these mitzvahs come from? Where's the source of these mitzvahs? In the highest parts of God, in the essence of God. That's why it comes down so low. But not only that, we say something else beautiful. We say that Hashem says to us that it's through the mitzvahs in this world, which means through the challenges, because the mitzvahs come with challenges, because in this world God is not revealed. Things don't look right, as we know. The good doesn't look so good, the bad doesn't look, nothing is clear. It's a lot of choices that we have to make. There's a lot of mud, there's a lot of things that we have to go through, and yet we make the right choices, and this is very, very challenging. When we do that, so it's like, you know, when somebody falls down because everything is too heavy, but nevertheless, what do? They pick themselves up. How? Through, it's difficult, a lot of effort, but realizing that the fall sometimes will get you even higher afterwards, because now that you've fallen, and something very beautiful when we think, when you fall, you pick up things that were on the ground. Right, when you're standing up, you don't pick up things on the ground, right? You might just see things on this level. But sometimes there are treasures that are on the ground that you have to pick up, and that's why you have to fall. So we fall, and we you don't like it, huh, Reva?
I've had 5 falls, and I haven't picked up
any. We should, let's stay, that's it, let's stay standing, right? Spiritually speaking, let's say. So hopefully, if we do fall, we find treasures. But we say like this, that we actually get elevated. But it says such a beautiful thing after the second part of Rashi. Do you remember Rashi brought that beautiful medrash and says he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how all the spiritual angels of all the nations have fallen, right? So here he says such a beautiful thing. He says that Hashem tells us that all the challenges that we see, right, all the things that are blocking us serving him, how do we have to look at them? As if they're not there, as if they're just a mirage, so to speak. They're there, but Hashem is already helping you overcome them. That's the point. He's helping you overcome them, right? Because he's making them fall, not you. So that's Riva. We'll stand up and let them fall. But that's the idea. The idea is, that's what Rashi tells us, that this is talking to us, every single one of us, in our spiritual lives. As we say, we want to inherit the land of Israel. How do we inherit the land of Israel? Through every mitzvah that we do, we acquire more of the land. But we're talking spiritually, obviously. We acquire more, and our neshama, obviously, will be able to have more, if you want to say, go into the land and really enjoy the spiritual energy that's there. That's by us also looking, as we say, with confidence and not being overwhelmed and overcome by the obstacles that we face. That's a big one. Again, to decide and to know Hashem is with us.
In your heart,
exactly right, Eva. Exactly right. So, Mirtz Hashem, it should be for all of us.